because we got a few visitors this morning. We are in a series we're calling The Kingdom. And as we are learning to be a church again, as we are learning to be a community again, as we are learning to be a family again, as we are covenanting together, there's a lot of talk both in our town and in our church about the kingdom, you know? We're all in this together. We're all on the same team, and we believe that. And I hear a lot of people talking. I do. I just don't see a lot of walking. Still see a lot of laws. Still see a lot of denominations. Still see a lot of names. And so we thought if we were going to be the kingdom, we might ought to see what it looks like. All right? So what I did was we went through, and there are verses in the scripture that say, the kingdom of heaven is like, and Jesus talks about it. All right? So we're breaking down all those verses. All right? We're in our fourth week, and today we're in one of my favorite passages about people. Now before I get into it, I want to say something else. I see all the time a predominant pain among people I come into contact with. A predominant enemy. A recurring theme in the lives of people I come into contact with. The thing about this one is, it doesn't stick with the rich. And it doesn't stick with the poor. It doesn't stick with the unchurched. And it doesn't rely solely with the church. It doesn't stick with just the burdened or those who are joyful. This one runs across all lines. And here it is. Devalue. What? Too many of us. Too many of you. Too many of me. We've let ourselves be devalued. We've let our worth be evaluated by the people around us. We've let our worth be evaluated by what we think is good and what we think is not good. We've let our value be estimated by the things in our past or the things we intend to do. We've let our value be given to us by our status in society or the amount of money we make or the job that we hold. None of these are accurate. I see people all the time. I want to do this, but you don't know where I've been. I'd like to be saved, but you don't know what I've done. I want to leave, but you don't understand my past. If I could swear at you right now, I honestly would. That's bold stuff. And I'm going to prove it to you. Jesus is going to prove it to you. When I was traveling for almost 20 years, preaching to thousands upon thousands of teenagers every year, if I had one message, one, this would be it. You are worth it. You are worth the blood. You are worth the cross. You are worth the heaven to earth journey, the earth to slave journey, the slave to death journey that he took. You are worth it. Matthew chapter 20. This is what the kingdom of heaven looks like. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire men to work in his vineyard. He agreed to pay the maintenance and the harvest for the day and sent them into his vineyard. About the third hour, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. And he said to them, hey, you also go, and you work in my vineyard. I will pay you what is right. So they went. Three words. So they went. He went out again about the sixth hour, and the ninth hour, and did the same thing. About the 11th hour, he went out and found still others standing around. He said, why have you been standing around all day long doing nothing? This is a valid question. A question which we will look at un momento. Because no one has hired us. Huh. He said to them, go, you also, work in my vineyard. When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his woman, come forth to pay the wages, beginning with the last ones, and go through the first. The workers who were hired about the 11th hour came, but each received 8 denarii. So those who were hired first, they expected to receive more, but each of them also received 8 denarii. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. These men who were hired last worked only 1 hour, and you have made us them equal to us who were born to burden on the work of the heat of the day. But he said to them, friend, I would not have been that long. being unfair to you. Didn't you agree to work for Daenerys? I love the next line. Take your pay and go! I think they wrote a song about that. Oh, take your money and run. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my money, or are you jealous? So the first will be last, and the last will be first. Let's bring it in. There's this guy who owned a big farm. Big farm. Back in the day, Bible day, and even nowadays down in Texas, there are these things these people call roustabouts. All right? If you've ever owned an oil field in Texas, you know about the roustabouts. They all gather at a central location, and some of the head workers at each of the oil fields go, and they pick up workers for the day. If you're from Kentucky, it's generally Mexicans during tobacco time. That's the same concept. I'm not being racist. I'm telling you what this is like. They gather at a certain location in Cynthiana. They know where they are. They come in all together to work. And you go and you pick up a few of them. They get in the back of the truck. You go. They work all day. You pay them. You bring them back and you move on. You can see this in Georgia with the peach fields. You see it here with the tobacco fields. In Texas. This is what was going on. Okay? Now, we need a gathering place. So I had to come up with a place that everybody would go in town. Walmart. Okay? So, out in front of Walmart, where everybody is, they have a big parking lot where you can leave your vehicles if you need to. This works, doesn't it? There are a lot of people standing around. Okay? So early in the morning, alright? In the Bible, that meant when the sun came up. So I need a round number, so we're going to use 6. At 6 o'clock in the morning, all these guys are out there waiting to get picked up. This particular landowner, this farmer, driving him up, you know, Chevy, Ford, whatever. I don't want to upset anyone. All right. He's driving his pickup truck, all right, and he pulls up to the Walmart, and he goes, you, get in the truck. Let's roll. Works out. I pay you $100. Nice. Let's roll, all right? So these guys go out at 6 o'clock in the morning, and they're getting ready to go. Alright, they're getting ready to work. Alright? Now, about 3 hours later, it's about 9 o'clock. So this farmer, he's getting a little bit hungry. Alright? And everybody knows that right out in front of Walmart is a McDonald's. Now, just about everywhere you go. We don't necessarily have one, but you know, most of the time it's in your Walmart. We got Subway instead, alright? The McDonald's is inside right out of the parking lot of just about every Walmart. Ours is just across the street. So this guy pulls into the Walmart parking lot to get in the Mac moving, alright? And he looks over, this is 3 hours later, 9 o'clock, he looks over, and he sees some fellas still standing there out in front of the Walmart. He's a nice guy. He's like, they need some work. You, get in the truck, let's roll. Y'all with me so far? 3 hours later, it's noon o'clock. 6 plus 3 is 9. 9 plus 3 is 12. At noon o'clock, guess what happens? This fella's hungry again. So he goes back to the McDonald's to get him a big Mac. All right? Maybe in Jesus' time he got a fillet of fish instead. I don't know. But as he pulls through the drive-thru, all right? He pulls through the drive-thru. He looks over. Guess what he sees? More people. There's more fellas. These fellas have been there 6 hours now. All right? So he says, all right, you, get in the back of the truck. Here's some McNuggets. All right? So they go. Does the same thing at 3 o'clock. You know why he goes back at 3 o'clock? Because he realizes he's hired 12 people and he needs to go to the ATM. Every Walmart has an ATM and a bank. So he goes back to the ATM because he's got to give out more $100 than he thought he was going to give out. And guess what he sees? More values. You, get the back of the truck. 6 a.m., 9 a.m., noon a.m., or whatever it is, 3 p.m. 5 o'clock, he's getting hungry again. The 11th hour is 5 o'clock. First 5 o'clock in America. Quitting time, all right? Jimmy Buffett says 5 o'clock somewhere, right? All right? Time to get free, all right? Time to be out there. Time to be done with the wages and the work, right? Now, here's the question, folks. This is where we have to look inside ourselves. Okay? You don't get up at 6 o'clock in the morning unless you want a job. Unless you need the work, right? Does that make sense? These guys, everybody out there needed the work. If you're going to stay out there after everybody's gone and all the farmers are working for 3 more hours on the concrete, on the asphalt, in the heat, you must really need, right? If you're still there at noon, if you're still there at 3, we call that desperation. But if you're still there at 5, you know that the day is over. You know that the job is basically done. We're an hour away from being finished. Why are you still there? I think Jesus has wanted to ask a lot of us that same question all the time. Why don't you want to be who I made you to be? Why don't you want to go where I put you? Maybe there's a little boy there. Every Walmart has a greeter, right? And maybe there's a friend who's with the greeter all the time. Maybe he's a little boy who's in a wheelchair. And the only real satisfaction he gets is running around in his wheelchair with those stickers, sticking it on people, you know? Maybe that's his thing. Maybe he's there, and nobody ever really picks him. Maybe there's another little boy there. He's about the same age as this boy. Ought to be in school. Just maybe 11, 12 years old. Shouldn't be out working the fields for sure. Here's the problem. His daddy's a drunk. And if he doesn't come home with money, his daddy beats him, and then he beats his mom, and then he beats his brother. Because his daddy won't work, so he makes him work. And he knows if he goes back home, the only thing waiting for him is the beating. It's more fun to ride around on the kid with the wheelchair's lap than it is to go home. And then there's a little old man. A little guy named Charlie. Charlie's been there for years. You see, Charlie is pushing 60. His body doesn't work real good anymore. You know, starting to get old. Joints are hurting. He worked in a factory from the time he was 16 on. After 20 years in the factory, he got married to the love of his life. Factory closed down. He got laid off. By that time, he was too old and didn't know anything else. So he's been picking up jobs ever since. But as his body gets older, he gets picked less. So they went from their apartment to a nice little small house, to a regular old house, back to an apartment. And now he and the love of his life, who he'd give his life for, just in a little one-room shack. And the bottom line is, he doesn't want to go home because he loves her. Because he can't stand the look on her face, not because she hates him, but because she understands and she loves him. As she looks at him lovingly and tries to look through the pain of another day, that there's no money, there's no bread, there's no water. And that moment just breaks his soul. When you're at the very bottom and there's nothing else left, the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who shows up after he's already showed up, after he's already showed up, after he's already showed up, to say, I pick you, and I pick you, and I pick you, and I don't pick you to be less. I pick you, and instead of having my manager do it, I'm going to stay around when I normally go home, and I'm going to be there to see your face. Why do you think he said, pay last one first? He wanted to watch, and he went and he got $100 bills for everybody, whether they worked 6 minutes or 6 hours, and he watched as they lined up, and humbly, that first little boy in the wheelchair walks up, and he, $100. $100. Tears roll down his face. Daddy's not gonna hit me today. Maybe Daddy hugged me today. Gentleman comes up. $100. Baby, we're gonna eat. We're gonna eat meat. We're gonna eat vegetables. Baby, somebody loved us today. The kingdom of heaven is like this. You get picked, broken or whole. You get picked, fail or victory. You get picked, sinner or saint. You get picked, church or unchurched. You are worth it. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all sin. Neither height, nor depth, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers of darkness. Nothing can separate you from the love that is in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
You are loved. And you are worth it. There's no body, especially not you, who needs to tell you any different. I am of no greater value than you. I am of no less value than you. Jesus doesn't save us more than somebody else. He saves us. And he wants you to hear this morning. I choose you. No matter when, no matter how, I pick you. And then he says, hey, church people, heard me. Hey, church people. Hey, Pharisees and Sadducees. Hey, religious people doing the law thing. Hey, religious people running down your list of I gotta do these things. Hey, all of you who think you're doing it absolutely, positively, correctly. What did I do? I saved you. What did I offer you? Eternal life. What have I brought you? Life to the full. What have I given you? Heaven as a bonus. Well, yeah. But they just got saved yesterday. I've been saved all my life. Yeah, they only put $5 in the plate. I put 100. They are not a deacon. I am a deacon. They don't teach Sunday school. I teach Sunday school. You know what Jesus has to say? La-dee-da! For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Maybe the King James says, shut up. Maybe not. It says, friend. But do y'all get me? Are y'all with me now? The landowner's blood's running up in his face a little bit. Because he gave them $100. How much am I going to pay you? $100? How much are you going to work for? $100? How much am I going to give you? $100? Then what are you whining about? Church, what are we whining about? I can't believe what them Methodists did. I can't believe what them Christians did. I can't believe what them hypocrites did. What are you? Still saved, still love, still with heaven coming. Shut up. Stop with your pride. Stop with your egos. And stop pushing everybody else down because you don't feel good enough to. In schools, they call it bullying.
Well, church people don't pretend that.
Church people do it all the time. Spiritual bullies. You don't measure up. You don't reach the standard. You know, Jesus has a lot to say about that, but none of it's very nice. The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who says, I pick all of them. And my gift, my money, what I give that you don't deserve is for all. All you gotta do is get in church. Oh yeah, you don't listen to me. I don't want you to think that, you know, everybody out there. No, no, no. You have to make a move. Let's be clear. You have to get in the truck. We confess with our mouth Jesus the Lord, believe in our heart, God raised from the dead, you shall be saved. For it's by grace you're saved through faith. It is not of yourselves, it is a gift of God that's in that book. Everybody can have it, but when the landowner comes by and says, let's go, you got to get the truck. This is what the kingdom of heaven is like. This is the kind of church and the kind of people and the kind of love and the kind of compassion and the kind of understanding and the kind of joy that I want this church to be for this week. My prayer is that you do too. You're worth it. Every pay, every dollar, every hour in the office, every hospital trip. And that's just me. Jesus says, you're worth it. My blood, my life, my all for you. I got you saved. Your value is in him.